Hi, my name is Kitta MacPherson. I'm a writer. I want to read you an essay that I wrote for a magazine based out of Australia called Koru. My essay is called Groves of Green. Waking up Thursday morning, my consciousness rising like an escaped balloon out of murky fields of green, I realized I had been dreaming about the Metasequoia. That means I had been thinking of Dr. L. The trees and the scientist came into my life some time ago, a few years after my husband died. I came across the Metasequoia first, on a Rutgers University research farm in East Brunswick. The wind shushed through a giant cluster of them that morning. I was working, researching a story about hickory nuts, and headed down a different path. Like so many invisible arms, the Metasequoia pulled at me, called me. The sun spilled through their branches, casting the stand in a pale green light, a hue unlike anything I had seen. The world smelled sweet and piney. The 360 residents of this copse were living fossils, the lonely representatives of a species that once filled forests when dinosaurs roamed the earth. I was captivated. Cousins of the majestic California redwoods, the Metasequoia stood tall and gently commanding, embracing their environment with soft, bright green needles the color of inchworms. Looking to learn more, I tracked down Dr. L., a botanist at the Brooklyn Botanic Garden and one of the world's leading authorities on the trees. What was I seeking? I now know that beauty has a restorative power. It came to me later that, for reasons I couldn't fathom, Dr. L. soothed me too. The trees brought me back to being engaged with the world, and Dr. L., almost in tandem, nudged me out of emotional numbness. We met at the garden's lily pool terrace. Tall and muscular, the middle-aged scientist gripped my hand with gusto. "You would like to see the Metasequoia," he said. "Oh, yes," I said. He told me to call him by his first name. I couldn't. Trees speak to me. As a girl, I climbed my family's grove of oak trees with zeal. I wanted to escape the gravity of earth. I wanted to be shrouded in the verdant cocoon of their interlacing branches. Up there, I was never afraid. Dr. L. led me through the Japanese hill and pond garden, its electrifying peony beds in full bloom. We ambled through the Cranford Rose Garden. I struggled to ignore the beckoning fragrance of hundreds of varieties. He told me he was married and that his wife lived in a city in New England with her high school-age daughter. His wife had a good job at a biotechnology firm. He saw them every other weekend. I told him I was a widow. After 20 minutes of walking at a brisk pace, Dr. L. froze and pointed. Three grand Metasequoia towered over a broad green field spotted with fiery wildflowers. "Ah," I exhaled. There was more. He showed me a dozen Metasequoia penned into a compound the size of a McDonald's restaurant. 200 feet tall, they had escaped the boundaries of the fencing, but only in a vertical sense. I should have been satisfied. I wasn't. I wanted something more. Dr. L. suggested we meet back at the garden on a Saturday, 2 weeks from that day, and drive to Long Island, where he said we could find some splendid specimens. I said I would bring my youngest son, who was 10 at the time, and a budding scientist. Dr. L. smiled, delighted to hear it. Looking back, I liked this man and wanted to listen to him talk. He seemed lonely, too, at loose ends. We met on the appointed day and headed for the north shore of Long Island. I drove. We zigzagged on winding country roads. We traipsed through former estates with vast tracts of lush wood and open lawns, areas that had been deeded to public trust. He was right about these particular Metasequoia. They were Paul Bunyan spectacular, larger than life. Gnarly, twisted roots at their bases made them belong more in a brother's grim tale than in the stark sunlight of the present day. We took turns taking photos with the camera, with Dr. L. insisting I get into the photo with him. When I look at the pictures now, I look awkward, as if I am afraid of standing too close. It was the first time I could imagine enjoying the company of another man since I had lost my husband of 22 years. I believe Dr. L liked talking to me, too. He reached out to me several times after our drive to Long Island, but I was never able to join him to seek out the rare fossil trees that so fascinated us. Recently, he wrote me from China. He was born there and had been invited back as chair of a biology department at a prestigious university. He accepted. His wife remains in the U.S. When I think of Dr. L, I think of strong, tall trees and branches with oddly soft needles. The world is green, the light diffused, the air smells clean.